Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Friday, May 10th, 2013, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, Obama gave Benghazi stand-down order. Kidnapping victim removed from the missing persons database 15 months after she was snatched off the street. And the interest rate swap scandal that's ruining our economy. All that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, Benghazi is not just a case of what do they know and when do they know it. No, it's a case actually of criminal actions and criminal cover-up. In a commentary that got very little notice, we had a Congresswoman, Ann Wagner from Missouri, had this to say to Ann Lesch.
And last quick question I have for you, Congresswoman, because you have been an ambassador, you have been overseas with similar responsibilities and similar missions, who gives such an order to stand down? Where does that come from?
The President of the United States.
Now, this has a lot of credibility because Congresswoman Wagner has also been an ambassador. She understands what the chain of command is, and she is a current Congresswoman. Now, Greg Hicks, in his whistleblower testimony, revealed that after Stevens had been killed, but while the attack was still ongoing, the Libyan military agreed to fly their C-130 to Benghazi and carry additional personnel to Benghazi as reinforcements, including U.S. Special Forces, but that a call came through from Special Ops Command Africa saying, you can't go now, you don't have authority to go now, and they were told not to board the flight, so they missed it, said Hicks. So this is... What we're seeing here is there's a growing body of evidence that indicates that the entire purpose of the consulate there was to oversee a clandestine war there. And we know that Al-Qaeda, who is responsible for killing the ambassador and attacking the embassy, was being armed secretly. We put them in power in Libya. We have to ask, why was that even done in the first place? It's absolutely insane. But it also appears to be, as people have pointed out, there seems to be an internecine warfare going on within the CIA between civilian elements of the CIA and military elements in the CIA, as represented by David Petraeus. It's a very complicated situation, potentially, but at the heart of it are some very simple issues. And so we want to make this clear for people who are maybe MSNBC viewers, typically, or people who watch mainstream media. We thought we would make this simple. So we came up with kind of a David Letterman top 10 revelations, and this is from an article from Town Hall by Guy Benson. He came up with some items. So here are the top 10 revelations about the Benghazi false flags. Number one, security provided by lightly armed Libya militia. That's right. Nordstrom, who was a U.S. security chief in Libya, said that they were complicit even in the attack. Number nine, request denied for increased security. It was actually operating below minimum security, and only the Secretary of State, that would be Hillary Clinton, had the authority to grant exemptions for minimum security requirements. Number eight, State Department said austerity was not a factor in poor security, in spite of Democrat talking points. Number seven, Stevens was sent to vulnerable Benghazi at the behest of Clinton. Number six, U.S. forces in Tripoli were told twice they did not have the authority to deploy to Benghazi during the attack. Now, whistleblower Mark Thompson, who's a career counterterrorism official at the State Department, said that he called the White House to request the immediate deployment of a foreign emergency support team to Benghazi and told that it was not the right time to do so, quote unquote. And then he was cut out of the communication loop. Number five, the U.S. government did not seek permission from Libyan government to fly into the airspace. As Greg Hicks said in his whistleblower testimony, Libyan military agreed to fly their C-130 and carry personnel, but SOCOM Africa said, stand down. Number four, Greg Hicks was gagged by Clinton. He was instructed not to speak with congressional investigators by Secretary Hillary Clinton's chief of staff, Cheryl Mills. Hicks said he had never faced a similar demand at any point during his distinguished 22-year diplomatic career, and when he refused to comply with this request, the State Department dispatched an attorney to act as a, quote, minder, who insisted on sitting in of all of his discussions with Congress. Number three, Hicks was demoted after pushing back. After being lavishly praised by the President and the Secretary of State for his performance under fire, Assistant Secretary of State Beth Jones instantly reversed course and launched into a, quote, blistering critique, unquote, of Hicks' leadership. Number two, Sam Basil. Yeah, this is the producer of the film that Clinton and Rice insisted was the problem.
I was dealing with protests against our facilities that were clearly connected to that video.
Right.
There is an angry mob in the street.
This began as it was a spontaneous, not a premeditated, response to what had transpired in Cairo.
I know. I have heard about it.
And in reaction to this very offensive video that was disseminated.
They could save thousands of lives and billions of dollars of taxpayers' money.
That the only people that I know who are in jail right now is the filmmaker.
That's right. Sam Basil. Sounds like imbecile, doesn't it? Maybe he was their intended stooge. He actually produced this film called The Innocence of Muslims, which Hillary Clinton and Susan Rice continued to insist for several days. Even the mainstream media called them on the absurdity of this. They continued to state that this was just a Muslim street reaction to this film. Now, possibly this film was intended to inflame the street. But it was an offense not just to Muslims, but to anybody that watched it. Some of the worst filmmaking ever. Number one of the top 10 Benghazi false flag facts, what difference does it make?
What difference at this point does it make?
And for the latest developments on Benghazi, here's a special report from John Bound.
This is John Bound with an InfoWars Nightly News alert. Damage control. That's what the Obama administration is dealing with right now. And before the whitewash media can just brush it all aside, let's do it for instance. For instance, you are a incumbent chief of police, and you've been running drugs with the local drug cartel, along with laundered money and weapons. So you come out with a video that blames the local drug cartel for all the crime in the area. Now, in order to keep this a very big secret, you've got to take out the only person that has any information, and that's your deputy. Now, your deputy is at home being surveilled by your surveillance drone. You call your drug cartel over to take him out. As he calls 911 and his family, and they all plead for help, you make the stand down order. Now, the video shows that the drug cartel was responsible for all the crime in the area. And of course, when the mainstream media comes and knocks on your door, you refer them to the video that caused the drug cartel to kill your deputy. Now, 9 times out of 10, this isn't going to work in the real world. But in the world of New World Order politics, it's just business as usual.
2 days after Susan Rice was awarded the 2013 Lewis E. Martin Great American Award, and 1 day after Hillary Clinton accepted the Public Service Award, the fallout from the Benghazi whistleblower hearings has already begun to motivate House Speaker John Boehner to apply weight on the Obama administration to release classified emails and talking points. Talking points that were revised 12 times, rewritten to the surprise of then-CIA Director David Petraeus to exclude references to al-Qaeda and jihadists. One of the emails read during the hearing revealed that a top State Department head was well aware of Islamic terrorists being responsible for the attack.
Days before our ambassador went on national television is telling the ambassador to Libya, the group that conducted the attacks, Ansar al-Sharia, is affiliated with Islamic terrorists.
More emails allegedly force lower-level State Department officials to remove terrorism from the narrative, instead focusing on the intent of the attacks to be carried out based on the film Innocence of the Muslims, a film now exposed as a Middle East tension time bomb funded by anti-Muslim neocons from the Washington Institute for Near East Policy and the MEF, the Middle East Forum, with connections to the ADL. A massive think tank effort was put into the production of this unwatchable excuse for a film.
Do not take any action until everything is over.
Its usefulness, or so they thought, would serve the Obama administration in allegedly brokering a full cover of the elimination of State Department assets in order to allow the CIA, al-Qaeda storehouses of missiles and weapons recovered from Gaddafi to pass under the radar.
First of all, let's be clear about what transpired here. What happened this week in Cairo, in Benghazi, was a result a direct result of a heinous and offensive video that was widely disseminated, that the U.S. government had nothing to do with.
From the Business Insider, what's odd is that a Libyan ship, which reportedly weighed 400 tons and included SA-7s, docked in southern Turkey on September 6th, and its cargo ended up in the hands of Syrian rebels. The man who organized that shipment, Tripoli Military Council head Abdel Hakim Belhaj, worked directly with Stevens during the Libyan Revolution. Stevens' last meeting on September 11th was with Turkish Consul General Ali Said Akin, and a source told Fox News that Stevens was in Benghazi to negotiate a weapons transfer in an effort to get SA-7 missiles out of the hands of Libya-based extremists. As far as those responsible for the stand-down order, all roads are now leading right to the top, as was described by former Ambassador Ann Wagner.
Stay with us as we offer more exclusive coverage on Benghazi that the whitewash media is too afraid to cover. John Bound, InfoWars Nightly News.
That's right. Who would believe that Clinton and Obama would hold back rescue efforts in an attack that they perhaps set up? Who would believe that Clinton and Obama conspired to lie and cover up these attacks? And who would believe that we have this kind of internecine warfare going on within the CIA? And who in the public would even care about Libya, right? Why would they even care that we're there? And who cares that they even put al-Qaeda in power in Libya? And maybe Hillary Clinton is right. Who cares? I don't know. I think our listeners do, and maybe you can wake some people up. Now, we all know that government is here to help us, and one of the ways that we've been told they're here to help us is to make our streets safe. But we see that America's roads have been turned into a revenue generating surveillance grid. That's right. If you drive a car, you may have noticed this. You don't necessarily feel safer when you see the police in your rearview mirror, do you? According to the National Motorist Association, issuing speeding tickets raises somewhere between $4.5 billion and $6 billion in the U.S. each year. And the average price of a speeding ticket keeps going up. Today, the national average is $150, but in many jurisdictions, it's far higher. And the article goes on to say that in California alone, they had 16 million traffic tickets with an average fine of approximately $250. Now, officials in Washington, D.C. are now using automated license plate readers to track the movements of every single vehicle that enters a city. They know when you enter Washington. They know when you leave. And as we have seen, this change, even the police unions are saying that they know that this is all about revenue and not about safety. Head of the police union said, "When I first started this job 30 years ago, police work was never about revenue enhancement. But if you're a chief now, you have to look at whether the department produces revenue or not." So the government is spying on us. The government is basically going around at random, getting revenue from people. But if you think about the fact, when you look in your rearview mirror, if you look back there and you don't feel safer, but you feel like you're being sized up by the police for some kind of ticket that's going to cost you a couple hundred dollars, you're probably right. And in the future, if you look out in your backyard and you see a drone over your house, you know that they're looking for something that they can fine you for, most likely, or maybe it's a little bit more specific. In many cases, you don't know that you're being looked at when you're on the internet or being electronically surveilled. They do it surreptitiously. And unlike the random and capricious and arbitrary way that revenue is collected by the police on the streets for traffic tickets, they're going to be very specifically looking for things from you. They might have flagged you because of a political belief that you've stated on Facebook. They might be after you because of your association. But they're going to be watching you. That's why we need to be very concerned about the surveillance state. We see how it is evolving on the roads, how they have turned basic rights of being able to move from place to place into privileges that are granted by the government, and then they use it as a way to enslave people and to rob them, essentially. Now, we also have the IRS admitting that they are harassing patriot groups. Just as we said people are going to be profiled, the IRS has now even admitted and apologizing to profiling particular groups like Tea Party groups. The IRS has apologized for harassing patriot and Tea Party groups, as reported by the Associated Press today. They searched for the words patriot and Tea Party in applications. And Lois Lerner, who oversees the IRS unit on tax-exempt groups, said the federal government tax agency has singled out Patriot Groups for special treatment after complaints that the agency asked the groups an inordinate number of questions to justify their tax-exempt status. This was something that people complained about. They felt they were being singled out a couple of years ago. And it was poo-pooed in the media as being essentially a conspiracy theory. That's their favorite way to react to anything. Now, the question is, when we look at things like the highway patrol and the tickets that they give out in the name of security and safety, you have to ask yourself, even when the government wants to protect you, are they able to do so? And looking at this, this story that is developing in Ohio, it's now come out that the Cleveland captive, Michelle Knight, was removed from a missing persons database just 15 months after she was snatched off of the streets. Ohio kidnapping victim Michelle Knight was removed from the missing persons database just 15 months after reported being missing in 2002. Her mother, Barbara Knight, said that the police did not do enough to try and find her daughter and did not give it the same attention as they did other higher-profile cases. She is also now suffering hearing loss and facial bone damage after years of vicious beatings to her head. Well, that was in 2011, 2 years ago. And the CPS incident was in 2004. And as we heard, she suffered severe damage to her hearing and facial bones being broken after years of vicious beatings to the head. Perhaps that could have been averted if there had been a better effort, a more serious effort to take things seriously that were reported. Look at the difference between the Boston bombing and the overwhelming, even ridiculous martial law that was imposed there to find one guy. And look at how hard they tried to find these three missing women. This is more people than were killed, well, the same number of people that were killed in the Boston bombing, but not nearly the effort to try to find the perpetrator. Now, it's not just lone wolf sexual predators that we should be concerned about. Robert Steele, ex-CIA person, also talks about the business of child abduction.
Among all the threats from poverty, infectious disease, environmental degradation, right below genocide, you have other atrocities. Other atrocities largely covers two major crime areas. One is trade in body parts. This is where prisoners are required to give up body parts or where people are kidnapped and murdered for body parts. And this is happening everywhere. And the other major crime is the kidnapping of people for the sex trade. And this includes basically three levels. It includes, at the lowest level, kidnapping children for child molestation and exploitation purposes. It includes raiding Russian orphanages for girls at a young age who are then raised like cattle for sex slavery. It includes persuading foolish young girls from Connecticut to come to an audition in New York, and the ones that are stupid enough to show up by themselves get kidnapped and are never seen again. All I can say is this stuff happens all around us. I mean, people don't realize how many people disappear, including from cruise lines. You know, it's just there is this enormous lack of accountability and lack of attention. And I would just say to you, if you are ever invited to anything like this, make sure you not only take someone with you and have your cell phone with you, but also make sure they know that there are at least six different people that know that you're right there. I think crime, in fact, it's a documented fact, Moise's Naim's book, Illicit, crime is now a $2 trillion a year industry. And just to put this in the context of the legal economy of the world, the legal economy of the world is no more than $7 trillion. Crime is now $2 trillion. Legal economy is $7 trillion, and it's gradually moving where crime is going to become $3 trillion and then half.
Yes, these men and their hypnotized followers call this a new order.
Well, there was a Sherlock Holmes story where the central part of it was about a dog that didn't bark. Sherlock said the strange thing is that the guard dog did not bark. And from that, he inferred that the criminal actually knew the dog. Well, what we have here is a case of the dog not barking. We have the biggest price-fixing scandal ever, according to Rolling Stones, and it really is true. It's much bigger than the TARP bailouts. It's much bigger than even LIBOR of a couple of years ago. And the interesting thing is that with the exception of a Rolling Stones story on April 25th and a couple of stories at the very beginning of April, There basically has been no coverage of this in the mainstream media. And what we're talking about here is an ICAP interest rate swap scandal. And the magnitude of this is gigantic. It's $379 trillion market. This is something that is 100 times the size of the entire federal government's annual budget. That's right. They make a little over a little over $3 trillion a year. And we're talking about something that is $379 trillion. Now, what's happening with this is that this interest rate spread is being fixed and it's being gamed by one company, ICAP, a small group of people there, about 20 of them. It's an area that they refer to as Treasure Island because they're making so much money out of it. And essentially the way this scam works is very much like the scam that was at the heart of the movie The Sting with Robert Redford and Paul Newman. If you remember that movie, they basically stung a guy by setting up a horse race where they delayed the results, and they knew who the winner was going to be, and they placed their bets accordingly and suckered the other guy. Well, that's essentially what they're doing here with this rate swap scandal. Just like we saw with LIBOR, we see giant banks making hundreds of trillions of dollars at the expense of individuals, at the expense of civil governments, private institutions, public institutions, governments across the world, and yet there is little to no coverage. Well, very much like the Sherlock Holmes story, this is a case where the dog is not barking. That dog is the media, and you have to ask who its master is. Perhaps it's the same bankers that are running this scandal. Well, we have an interview coming up. Leanne McAdoo interviewed Jeffrey Smith, who did a documentary called Genetic Roulette on the dangers of genetically modified food.
Many anthropologists and archaeologists believe that before man even discovered the power to harness and use fire, we were involved in agrarian activities. That is, taking the seeds of plants and then replanting them to produce more. The very foundation of our modern civilization and human culture is centered around the planting and cultivation of edible plants, fruits, vegetables, nuts, you name it. And the globalists have been going after gardening. They've been harassing people that have gardens in their front yards or their backyards. They've called for licenses for people to have gardens because you can't trust prisoners in the police state America to be able to grow their own food. That's why I've come to the realization that we need to become self-sufficient. You need to be informed. You need to have the Second Amendment to protect yourself. You need to be politically active to wake up others. You need to filter your water. But you also need to plant a garden. Even if you live in an apartment, you can do this. If you live in the countryside, obviously you can do it on a grand scale. There are so many green belts in areas that humans don't even visit, nearby cities and in suburbs, where people are now more and more planting their own little private gardens and meadows and off the side of the road. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a revolutionary act to unplug from the television, to unplug from the computer and all the globalist propaganda, and to go out in your backyard or your front yard or planters at your apartment or on the roof of the building where you live and to plant a garden.
Here are some of the amazing deals at InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com. The Survival Seed Vault by My Patriot Supply features only the finest survival heirloom seeds for a robust and hardy garden, even in the toughest of times. The ARC All-in-One Seed Kit contains 70 varieties of 50,000 seeds of fruits, vegetables, medicinal, and culinary herbs. All ARC seeds are heirloom. Each type is labeled and sealed separately for ease of use and longevity. The Deluxe Emergency Seed Bank combines three of Emergency Seed Bank's top sellers: the Family Survival Emergency Seed Bank, the Medicinal Herb Seeds Pack, and the Culinary Herb Seeds Pack. We also have starter varieties of the deluxe seed packages for fruit, salad, salsa, peppers, and medicinal herbs and more. Go to the InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com.
A little seed can grow a huge tree that produces fruit for up to 50 years. We have the best life bombs. That's what these are. We have the best weapons against death out there at the lowest prices, waiting for you to lovingly plant them and lovingly grow them and lovingly eat them and share them with others. we will strike back against the New World Order, and this is only one more initiative in our fight against them. So please join us at InfoWarsShop.com, or you can link through at InfoWars.com at the InfoWars Seed Center.
I'm Leanne McAdoo with the InfoWars Nightly News. The FDA and their loyal lobbying minions have no problem misleading the public when it comes to the health dangers of genetically modified foods. Now, with the recent passing of the so-called Monsanto Protection Act, is there anything that we can do to stop the demise of our food supply at the hands of biotech companies? Today, I'm going to be speaking with author and documentarian Jeffrey Smith, who is the executive director for the Institute for Responsible Technology. His latest documentary, Genetic Roulette, warns of the health dangers of genetically modified organisms. So thank you for being with us today, Jeffrey Smith. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
Wonderful. So now, why are we taking the gamble of our lives by consuming GMOs?
Well, don't ask me. Ask Monsanto. It ultimately comes down to political corruption, industry manipulation, collusion. And we can go back even to 1992 when the first Bush administration declared that GMOs were safe and that they weren't going to regulate it. Dan Quayle made a big announcement in the White House Indian Treaty Room. 2 days later, the much heralded FDA policy on GMOs came out saying, we don't see any difference, therefore no testing is necessary. Companies like Monsanto could determine on their own if GMOs are safe and put it on the market without telling the FDA or consumers. Monsanto told us that Agent Orange, PCBs, and DDT were safe. Well, the person in charge of that policy at the FDA was Monsanto's former attorney, Michael Taylor, later Monsanto's vice president and chief lobbyist, now back at the FDA as the U.S. food safety czar. So we didn't take the risk. We didn't put our lives at risk. It was Michael Taylor. And his policy overruled or overlooked the concerns by the scientists at the FDA, which were very clearly explained in memo after memo made public from a lawsuit saying that GMOs were not only different, but dangerous. And they urged their superiors to require long-term testing, but were ignored. So we have been thrust into this unprecedented gamble where everything that we eat and all future generations are put at risk by this infant technology, genetic engineering.
But I thought it was, you know, they just wanted to feed the world with this technology. Obviously, that's not, that's just the tip of it, I guess.
Well, actually, it's not even the tip of it. It's a lie. The overwhelming consensus among the experts at feeding the world is that GMOs have nothing to offer in their current state. In fact, the huge ISTAT report signed on by 58 countries, sponsored by the UN and the World Health Organization and WTO, basically said that GMOs are not in the picture in terms of feeding the world, eradicating poverty, or creating sustainable agriculture. In fact, genetically engineered crops on average reduce yield and increase the use of agricultural chemicals and concentrate the ownership of agriculture and are unsafe.
Right, and so now researchers are basically kind of crossbreeding these organisms that are not meant to be compatible. How are scientists getting around the natural barriers to create these bizarre species?
Well, they are bizarre. In fact, they've taken genes from spiders, inserted them into goats in the hopes that they could milk the goat to get spiderweb protein to make bulletproof vests. I'm not making this up. They've put jellyfish genes into kittens so that they glow in the dark. They've put in human genes into corn to make spermicide. And the way they do it is they avoid completely the normal crossing of sexual reproduction. And so let's say you want to take a corn plant and make it into a registered pesticide, and millions of acres in the U.S. are, in fact, registered pesticide corn plants. You take a gene from soil bacteria called Bacillus thuringiensis. You make millions of copies of that gene that produces a toxin that breaks open the stomach of insects to kill them. You put it into a gun and shoot that gun into a plate of millions of cells and then clone those cells into a plant. And now every one of the cells of these genetically engineered BT corn plants has a little gene-sized spray bottle which creates a toxin that breaks open the stomach of insects to kill them. And it's in our food supply, and it's in the food supply of our children, and it's in the blood of pregnant women now, and it's in the blood of unborn fetuses. And the most recent studies have shown that it does, in fact, interact with human cells. It pokes holes in human cells just in the way that it kills insects. And it recently, a study came out this week, it turns out it is cytotoxic. It causes problems in the blood of mice as well. So the Environmental Protection Agency, which registers these crops as pesticides, assured us that the BT toxin had no impact on humans or mammals, ignored their own scientific advisory panel, and put it on the market without requiring any testing. Now, numerous doctors, thousands of them, which prescribe non-GMO diets, many of them believe that this BT toxin in our corn may be related to massive gastrointestinal disorders, as well as leaky gut, which is linked to many other diseases.
So is the BT corn, is that the only sort of cross-species trait in our food, or are there other traits in other foods? What else is out there?
The main crop that's genetically engineered is called herbicide tolerance. So Monsanto scientists found bacteria surviving in a chemical waste dump in the vicinity of Roundup herbicide. Roundup is an antibiotic. It normally kills bacteria, but this bacteria was surviving. So Monsanto scientists figured, great, let's put it in the food supply. So they took the gene that allowed the bacterium to survive and put it into soybeans. So now you can spray the field of soybeans with Roundup herbicide, and it won't kill the soybeans that are genetically engineered as Roundup ready. Now, what happens is the Roundup-ready soy and corn, cotton, canola, sugar beets, and alfalfa drink the Roundup, and they store a portion of it in the food that we eat. Roundup is not the benign herbicide that Monsanto wanted us to believe. And it turns out, a study came out last week by two very top scientists, one at MIT. I spent a long time interviewing her, and the glyphosate, or active ingredient in Roundup, is linked to essentially every major Western disease on the rise due to diet. So from cancer, obesity, diabetes, heart disease, anxiety, aggression, anorexia, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, autism, it's very, very dangerous. And it is unfortunately in high concentrations of these Roundup-ready crops, which is the vast majority of all GMOs that we eat.
Right, and genetic roulette actually touches on the majority of the soy in Similac and baby formula is GMO, so our children are being used as lab rats, basically. So what are doctors saying about the effects of these GMOs in baby formula?
Well, in the film Genetic Roulette, The Gamble of Our Lives, Michelle Perro, who is an award-winning pediatrician, she was rated as one of the top 10 pediatricians in the United States for many, many years. She said basically she's seeing very complicated diseases related to lack of ability of digestion among her patients. And that this, in the last few years, it's been an overwhelming number where kids are unable to thrive, meaning they're not gaining any weight, or they're allergic to every category of food, or they're constantly crying. And when she was reviewing my book, Genetic Roulette, and saw the disrupted architecture of the cell walls along the intestines and stomach of rats that were fed genetically modified foods, she said to herself, uh-oh, we've got a problem, because this is the kind of disruption in the internal cellular architecture that she is sure she is seeing in the children that she's treating. So she and numerous other people believe that these genetically engineered crops are wreaking havoc with the health of this coming generation. And that right now, of course, we know that children are most at risk for the potential dangers of GMOs. They're more allergenic. They can get allergies more easily. They're more susceptible to toxins. The foods that are being served to them are incorporated into the very structures of these growing organs and tissues. And so we believe that what we're seeing now in terms of ADHD and autism and diabetes and all these things and obesity are related to GMOs. Now, I was speaking at MIT a couple of weeks ago, and I asked the audience, okay, who in the audience has switched to a non-GMO diet and noticed a benefit? So one woman immediately raised her hand and described her son, who I believe was about 6 and a half. And he was very aggressive, completely out of control, and they wanted to call him retarded and take him out of school and put him in a special school. Then she saw the film, Genetic Roulette, The Gamble of Our Lives, heard parents of autistic kids describing how their kids got better, both behaviorally and gastrointestinally, how mothers and doctors took patients off of GMOs and their symptoms got better. She immediately eliminated all GMOs from her son's diet and said now she has a completely new son. No problems with aggression. No one out of control. No, the whole concept of him being retarded was eliminated. He's completely assimilated into his classroom. She says she has a completely new son. And the only thing she did was change his diet. Now multiply this by millions of people who are feeding their kids starting with infant formula, genetically engineered soy in the infant formula, bovine growth hormone, which is injected into cows to increase milk supply in the milk infant formulas. It's so dangerous that three Monsanto scientists who are studying the milk from cows treated with their genetically engineered drug found so much cancer-promoting hormone in the milk from treated cows, the three Monsanto scientists refused to drink milk thereafter unless it was organic. One bought his own cow. And yet our entire, entire generation is being fed this milk from cows treated with bovine growth hormone.
That's unbelievable. So how are firms like Monsanto, how are they getting around sort of testing and then sharing the results of those tests with the public?
Well, first of all, the Food and Drug Administration, because it was hijacked by Monsanto and its former attorney, Michael Taylor, does not require a single safety study on GMOs. Now, the FDA is unlike other countries or other regulators where they do require some studies, but it's always extremely superficial. And we have caught Monsanto and other biotech companies red-handed rigging their research with tobacco science. In other words, is specifically designing the research to avoid finding problems. Even doing so, they find serious health problems, which they then dismiss using unscientific excuses. Now, they also limit the ability of other scientists independently to do research. So they patent their own genetically modified seeds and crops, making them unavailable to do any research. So if anyone wants to do research, they go to the companies and ask for permission, they're turned down. Then if someone does figure out a way to smuggle some seeds and do research, then they're attacked. They oftentimes lose their job or are stripped of responsibilities or lose their funding, denied tenure, etc. And this attack has made it so risky for people to do research in GMOs that hundreds of them refuse to do any research because they don't want to withstand those threats to themselves and to their families. And if they do the research, it's often very difficult to publish. And if they do publish it, very often Monsanto or others will rush to publication a counter study, clearly rigged to avoid finding problems, clearly rigged to avoid to create the opposite effect, so they can say, well, it's just a question of which study you're looking at. And that's how they keep it out of the limelight. Most recently, a study was released on September 19th showing that they fed rats Monsanto's genetically modified Roundup Ready corn for 2 years. Now, Monsanto only does 90-day feeding studies, and during the first 90 days of this two-year study, the next month they started developing tumors, and it grew so fast and so profoundly that up to 80% of the female rats had tumors, mostly of the mammary glands. Up to 50% of the male rats, they also had early death and organ damage. Well, as soon as this came out, the biotech industry jumped all over the study with unscientific claims, pretending that it wasn't an appropriate study that had been discredited. And so they gave the same talking points from all over the world so everyone could basically refer to the other probiotic apologists as verifying their own position so that they could say there is now a consensus all over the planet that it's discredited information and shouldn't be focused on. That was just the chorus of the biotech people working for Monsanto directly or indirectly that were causing that hysteria.
That is unbelievable. So what are two of the scariest things about consuming these genetically modified organisms?
Well, one is if you are of childbearing age, there's a lot to be concerned about. We know that mice, rats, and hamsters that were fed genetically engineered Roundup-ready crops had damage to their testicles, uterus, ovaries. The DNA functioned differently in the embryo offspring when the parent mice were fed GM soy compared to non-GM soy. Female rats were fed genetically modified soy starting 2 weeks before they got pregnant. More than half of their babies died within 3 weeks compared to only 10% death rate among controls. Hamsters fed GM soy by the third generation had smaller babies, fewer babies, sterile babies, and some had hair growing in their mouths. Mice fed GM corn had smaller babies and fewer babies. I mean, very, very serious problems for the next generation. But if you're not focused on the children, people find one of the scariest aspects as a result of the only human feeding study that has been published of late. And that showed that genes inserted into soybeans to make the soybeans Roundup ready actually transferred into the DNA of the bacteria living inside our intestines. That means that even after we stop eating GMOs, we have the DNA embedded living inside us. And in this case, in this particular study, the gut bacteria that had incorporated the DNA of the Roundup ready soy was in itself Roundup ready. It was unkillable with Roundup, suggesting that it was that this transferred gene inside our gut bacteria was continually producing genetically modified proteins. Now, here's where it gets really scary. We know that corn chips are made from BT corn. Corn that produces a BT toxin that can poke holes in human cells and in insect cells, that can cause disruption, that can hurt red blood cells in mice, that can maybe be linked to inflammatory bowel, leaky gut, etc. It was found, the BT toxin was found in 93% of pregnant women tested. How come so many pregnant women had BT toxin in their blood when BT toxin should wash out quickly? This was done in Canada, not in Mexico, where they eat corn tortillas every day. So the authors suggested that the source of the BT toxin was eating the milk and meat of animals that fed on the corn. So they were thinking that you can get the BT toxin just from eating the milk and meat. But I think a more plausible explanation, and here's where the scary part comes in. Imagine if you eat a corn chip with BT toxin-producing genes, and the gene that produces that toxin transfers to your gut bacteria and continues to function, converting it into living pesticide factories. That means that you have a toxin, which is a known allergen and a toxin, which pokes holes in human cells, being produced continuously inside your own digestive tract. This might explain why inflammatory bowel disease is up 40% since GMOs were introduced, or why leaky gut has been on the rise, and that's linked to autism and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and cancer and autoimmune disease and inflammation. Or it could be a Crohn's disease or irritable bowel or all these things that may be related to BT toxin, and that toxin may be produced continuously inside our own digestive tract. So when I tell people that, that is really pause for concern. But we do know the good news is this, that the thousands of doctors prescribing non-GMO diets, the veterinarians and farmers who take the livestock off of GMOs, the humans and animals are getting better. So we don't know, we're not monitoring the gut bacteria to know what changes are, but we do know that people are, and animals are getting better, and sometimes within 2 or 3 days. So that's the good news.
Yeah, well, at least there is some good news.
Yes.
So is there a way that people can actually and easily avoid these GMOs?
Yes. Well, we have a website, nongmoshoppingguide.com, and an iPhone application that's free called Shop No GMO. So nongmoshoppingguide.com and Shop No GMO iPhone application. There's about 10,000 products that are third-party verified as non-GMO listed in the shopping guide. You can also buy products that are organic. They're not allowed to intentionally use GMOs. You can buy products that say non-GMO right on the label, especially non-GMO project verified. And we also have a list of hidden ingredients, the invisible ingredients, where you don't necessarily see corn or soy, but you may see dextrose or maltodextrin. So we have a list of the 9 genetically modified food crops and their derivatives in the shopping guide. So you can go around the store, look at the products that you're going to buy and see if it contains any of these derivatives of GMOs. The good news is in the produce section, you only have four to be concerned about: zucchini, yellow crookneck squash, corn, and papaya from Hawaii or China. These are four of the GM crops. The others are soy, cottonseed oil, canola oil, sugar from sugar beets, as well as alfalfa used as hay. These are the only nine genetically modified food crops, and there are ways to avoid them. Now, we think that when about 5% of U.S. shoppers avoid brands that contain GM ingredients, that would be sufficient to create a tipping point of consumer rejection, turning GMOs into a marketing liability and forcing the companies to abandon GM ingredients. This is how GMOs were kicked out of Europe back in 1999. It was based on a high-profile food scandal where a scientist was ungagged and could finally talk about the dangers of GMOs. In Europe, over 700 articles written within a single month in England alone, and that was enough to create a tipping point. But the mainstream media ignored the entire incident in the United States, and so the same companies that removed GMOs in Europe continue to sell us GMOs in the U.S. But we now see early signs of a tipping point, huge popularity among products labeled non-GMO, huge eruption of people wanting labeling and demanding non-GMO alternatives. So we think a tipping point is on its way. And you can learn more about the tipping point and how to become involved at responsibletechnology.org, which is at the Institute for Responsible Technology, responsibletechnology.org, where we can give free newsletters and free online audios and videos and other materials to keep everyone informed and active on this issue.
Well, Jeffrey, thank you so much for all the information and for all that you're doing to inform the public about the dangers of GMOs and really giving us the tools to kind of stop it. And if it only takes 5% of us to get these out of our food supply, I don't think that that's too far off then.
I agree. I think we're going to be seeing some very good news very soon.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey.
You're most welcome.
We'll talk to you soon. Now, you can pick up a copy of Genetic Roulette. Both the book and DVD are at our InfoWars store. That's at InfoWarsStore.com. Join us again here tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central. I'm Leanne McAdoo for the InfoWars Nightly News.